All right. Hello, everyone. This is the October 2017 Exchange Essay Chat, and we are joined by a very amazing guest. So excited to have her here. We're going to talk about finding your niche in physical therapy with Kate Hamilton, the owner of Girl Fit Physical Therapy. So we're so excited to have you here. I am quickly going to make sure that our Facebook feed is working okay. So perfect, and I can see us here now. So Kate, we are live. This is working. Okay, great. So so we have a couple viewers. They're slowly coming on. So let's do this, Kate. I'd love for you to give our audience just a little bit more about you, because what we find is a ton of people watch this after the fact as well. So can you give us a little more extended introduction about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So my name is Kate Hamilton. I have been a physical therapist for about 8 years. I went to Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, and had the awesome opportunity to be student assembly president my last year of PT school. I worked in Atlanta for about a year in outpatient orthopedics and pediatric inpatient, then left to go travel on some Broadway shows. As their physical therapist, ended up coming back to Atlanta, working for a few years in pediatric sports medicine, and then about 2 years ago moved to Boston, and I now own Girl Fit Physical Therapy just outside of Boston.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so excited to hear about your journey and your history. I mean, you definitely have some very unique experiences that that a lot of us as students don't get to hear about. So let's kind of dive in. The next thing I want to do is talk about the Student Assembly Pulse blog piece that you wrote for us. So if anyone is curious, you can find that. You can find that piece at apta.org/pulse. Kate wrote an awesome piece for us about her journey. So let's break it down, though. So one of the things, I guess the first thing that really stood out to me about your journey is that you didn't really necessarily have it all figured out coming right out of school. And I think that is something that's incredibly common for a lot of students. I think there's a lot of pressure to feel like we do have to have it all figured out, you know? And it was refreshing to hear about your experience with that. So one of the other really big lessons that I took away was it wasn't until you got connected, you worked with your mentor, you worked with a colleague who you called your BFF, and that things really started coming together. So do you have any initial thoughts on that, on those two comments there?
Yeah, I had a lot of anxiety about not knowing exactly what I wanted to do at the end of PT school. I went in so sure. I worked at a summer like medical camp for kids and went in thinking I was going to do pediatric rehab. That was it for me. I know that's what I want to do. Like everything else, I'm going to get through it. And I kept learning different things in school and falling in love with all these different types of PT. I even really enjoyed my wound care rotation. So yeah. I don't know, I just kept enjoying things. And I got to the end of school and I was like, man, I don't know exactly what I want to do yet. And like I said in my blog post, you know, residencies were really starting to catch a lot of steam at that point and get going. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I don't do a residency, I'm not going to be a good PT. So I was really worried about that. And one of my mentors said, you know what, Kate, just go out, create your own experience. If you don't know exactly what you want to do, don't go spend that time in a residency if that's not what you're sure you want to do. So I took that advice. I went to my first employer and I said, you know, is there any way you'd consider me working just 32 hours a week so I can have some time to do some other things that I enjoy? And he was up for that. So don't be afraid to ask those things. And then I did one or 2 days a week in inpatient pediatrics and got to kind of create that experience and just learn a ton, take tons of con ed, go to tons of APTA conferences, and I just learned as much as I could in that first year. So I kind of created my own little experience.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So I love this next quote that you put in your piece. So it goes like this. So I said yes to every opportunity. I put my head down and I worked hard and I soaked up every single thing that I could. So it reminded me of this quote that I heard recently. So the quote goes, quality is never an accident. It's always the result of intelligent and intentional effort. So I think that speaks to a lot of the things that you did early on. There's so much to be said for just getting good at first, right? Just working on your craft, spending a lot of time trying to be really, really good. So I loved that you put that out there, especially early on for new grads. There's never a time when we're going to know everything, but just getting really, really good at the things that you're interested in. A lot to be said for that. So can you tell us, while we're on the subject, can you tell us a little bit more about working on Broadway as a cast physical therapist?
Yeah, it was a crazy experience, but a great experience. I worked on the cast of The Lion King, Wicked, War Horse, a show called Come Fly Away. And this was another thing. It was just like an opportunity, and I was a little bit scared of it and nervous about being, you know, away from everyone and everything for all of the year. I ended up in Las Vegas for 6 months. I ended up in New York and LA. One summer I was in Dayton, Ohio for 4 weeks. It was, you know, it wasn't always like perfectly glamorous, but, you know, and I was really nervous about that, but it ended up being a great experience. And, you know, the days were long and they were hard, but I took a lot away from it, and it was, you know, something unforgettable, like that experience I had there. So I say I got to touch a lot of bodies. Like, I got my manual skills got really strong during that year, because I was literally just doing manual work all day, every day on these dancers with these, you know, very muscular bodies. And I learned so much, and I had to call my mentors many, many times to make sure that, you know, if I needed a little bit of advice of kind of what direction to go with things. But it was a great and crazy experience.
Holy smokes. That sounds crazy. That sounds awesome. I mean, I'm in a similar setting right now. So the hours are pretty long, and I work with a lot of athletes and professional athletes, but yeah, very, very similar situation to yours. So can definitely know the struggle.
Just take away from everything you do. You know, every experience is going to have its good points and its really tough points, and just think about taking a little bit of something away from all of it. And that's what I have to just keep telling myself through all of these experiences. Like, you have this little physical therapy tool belt, and you're just throwing more and more tools back there and things that you can kind of pull out at different times with different patients. And that's going to continue to grow. So just seize every opportunity you have, whether it's physical therapy skills or business skills or communication skills, any of those things, and just soak it all up as much as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Awesome. So, so before we open it up for questions, and obviously, for everyone that's watching, please drop your questions in the comments here on the live Facebook live feed, or drop them on Twitter using hashtag ExchangeSA. Kate and I will answer them for you. So a lot of knowledge to be gained here. But before we do that, there's one more thing that I want to ask you, Kate. So can you tell us a little bit more about Girl Fit Physical Therapy?
Yeah, so it's definitely a dream come true for me. As I kind of went through these past 8 years, and I worked, you know, in orthopedics and pediatrics, and then this dance medicine, and I started realizing who I related the best with, and I realized it was teenage girls. And I always used to joke that it was because I was an awkward teenage girl for a really long time. So I just really could relate with them. And I just enjoyed it. And I started realizing, you know, when some of my friends were talking about, you know, different PT techniques on, you know, the neck or the back or these things, what made me tick was seeing this young girl, like, realize she could take care of herself. And so I had a student ask me once, like, don't you get kind of bored of, you know, always having patellofemoral pain and all these very common diagnoses? And they're not always the most complicated ones with this population. Every once in a while they are, but for the most part, it's a lot of the same kind of stuff. But for me, every kid is really different. And
oh yeah,
it makes me tick. Like, it makes me really happy to see them light up when they realize they know how to take care of themselves. So I realized that probably 4 or 5 years ago and have been trying to figure out exactly how I can work with that population. And finally, I was just like, you know what, I need to make this happen myself. And I was nervous that I'd be cutting out a lot of the population by going all in on this niche. But I think by doing that, more of them have come to me because the parents and the kids really like that this is what I do, you know?
Yeah.
So by going all in on that, I think it has become even more successful. So I have to pinch myself every once in a while. Then girls are in there working out and, you know, there's one girl over here doing an exercise and one girl over here stretching and one walking in telling me about her day. And for me, it's exactly what I've always wanted to do. And it took me a while to get here, but I'm so happy that I'm here.
Man.
We do injury prevention and physical therapy for adolescent female athletes. So, and athletes and non-athletes as well, but adolescent girls. So we do, you know, the PT part of things, but also have some fitness classes. So I basically took some physical therapy exercises. I took the common injuries you see in this population, the common muscle groups that tend to be weak, the best exercises for those muscle groups, and then put it to music. So I created this little class where we work out to the beat of music, but we're doing like clamshells or band walks or posture, body mechanics, and all these things. And it's made it kind of fun for them. So it's a way that, you know, I'm really big on teaching kids their home exercise program when they are done with PT. I want them to understand why I don't just give them a list of exercises. I give them like categories. I'll say these are glute exercises and these are core exercises. And you need to know how to pick out of all of those. Really big on the education piece, but honestly, sometimes they're kids and they're not going to do it at home. So I gave them an opportunity to have a way to come and continue that strengthening after PT and hopefully stay out of PT.
Yeah. Holy smokes. All right. Kate, you just took the exchange chat to a whole new level. Seriously, I just have to mention that right now. So we have over 50 live viewers right now. So for those of you that have questions or comments for Kate, please drop them in so you can learn more about her niche practice. Kate, I'm getting chills right now. I can feel, like, literally feel the passion. So excited to learn more about you and learn from you. So, okay. So while everyone is dropping their questions and comments, please do that in the feed or on Twitter using hashtag ExchangeSA. I just have a couple of quick comments or a couple of quick announcements. So the National Student Conclave is next week. APTA Student Assembly board elections are taking place at the National Student Conclave. Kate just mentioned earlier that she was on the board. So Kate, thank you for your service to APTA. There are going to be a ton of focus groups there, and there's a chance to win gift cards. So if that's something that you're interested in, if you're going to NSC, National Student Conclave, please take some time. The board is going to drop links in the comments here so that you can gain access to those focus groups. Last thing, project committee and liaison applications are open now. The deadline is Saturday, November 11th. So essentially the project committees, member positions, chair positions, and student assembly liaison positions are open. They help out with various areas of physical therapy and our profession. So if that's something that you're interested in as a student, those applications are open. All right. Awesome. And the board will also drop a link for that as well. Okay, so let's get started. Kate, how do you feel? You ready for hot seat questions?
Great, yeah. And speaking of student conclave, I'm going to be there with two others of my friends speaking. We have kind of a cool story. So the five of us, two are going to come in virtually, met at student conclave 10 years ago. Exactly 10 years ago, and we're all still friends, and we've all influenced each other's career paths and have gone into very different niche practices across the country, and we're really excited to share our story. So I hope you guys will come check it out if you're going to be in town for NSC, the great conference, where it all began.
Yeah, that's where it all began. All right. Kate, I'm definitely going to be there. I'm going to be sitting in the front row with my notebook. So, all right, let's get started. So, Jillian asked the first question. This is a deep one. I hope you're ready. So when you feel overwhelmed with opportunity and curiosity, how do you choose which path to take?
That is a great question, because I was going to make this point earlier, actually, and I'm glad you brought this up. There's a difference between seizing opportunities and taking everything you can and soaking it all in and overcommitting yourself. And you want to make sure that you do find that balance. So you don't want to kind of go into a bunch of things and kind of halfway do them all, right? So being able to find exactly what it is that you're really passionate about, I think, is key. So don't just say yes just because you feel like you should say yes. And I've had moments where I haven't done the best with that, and I have to kind of pull back and be like, what is it that really makes me really passionate about something? So I'd say follow your heart, follow your gut, and definitely don't just follow the feeling of I really have to say yes because, you know, so and so is depending on me or this or that. You know, find a way, maybe find a different person, find another friend to give that opportunity if it's something you're not really, really passionate about. So that's my best advice.
Yeah, that's so huge. I heard this whole concept, this idea that just be who you are, because there are so many people out in the world, right? And there's a ton of people that are going to respond to the way you like to communicate, to the ideas that you like to share, to content you like to produce, and niche practice like yours, Kate. I'm sure people that are responding and looking for a particular service, you know? And so those people are the ones that you're going to continue to attract. Just put your stuff out there, Jillian. I know a lot about you. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you at NSC. So, okay, next question. So, comment. It looks like Deanna Miller mentioned, I think this was when you were talking about how you do Therex with your patients, where you guys, you know, do Therex to songs and things. So Deanna Miller just mentioned a comment. She said, Kate, maybe you can make a DVD of your classes for your patients to continue PT after it's complete. That's a good thought.
That's a great idea. Yeah. We'll definitely put that on my to-do list, because that would be awesome.
That changed the game. Yeah. So let's see. Ariana Jones, next question. So you mentioned you are 8 years out. If possible, would you have fully dived into your niche year one, or is that too early?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know, because I didn't, but I remember thinking that a little bit out of school. And I was worried that I was going to get, because I did consider going into pediatric rehab at that point, because I was like, this is what I wanted to do. And I was afraid that if I went into that, then I was never going to be able to kind of change direction. But that is the beauty of our career. Our profession is that you can switch directions. That's really, really cool. But I was a little bit worried about that. So that's why I kind of created that opportunity where I did a lot of different things. So I think from my experience, it was great to not go exactly into what I thought I wanted to do at that moment, because I actually ended up doing something a little bit different, and I'm so happy there. But I don't know, talk to me in 10 more years, maybe it'll be different.
Yeah. So true. That's awesome. So, okay. Very, very similar. So, along the same vein, Megan asks, Kate, you mentioned you're about 5 years ago, you realized, what makes you tick. And then you decided you're going to take that upon yourself and create your own opportunity, to realize your passion. Could you explain how you were able to go from concept to reality?
So about the time I realized what I wanted to do, it was after the Broadway shows, which was an awesome experience, but I actually realized I didn't love working with all adults. So it's just most of who I had on the shows. And I mean, it was a great experience. I took a ton from it, but I just really missed being with kids. And that's when I realized it. And that's actually why I talked about this a little bit in my blog post too. I felt a little disorganized at that point in time, because I had done all these different experiences. I had had a bunch of different awesome mentors, taken a ton of Con Ed courses, gone to a bunch of HTA conferences. And at that point, I was just like, my head was kind of spinning. I was like, I know, I really think pediatric sports is probably what I want to be doing. And so at that point, I decided I was going to try and take the OCS. So I called my friend Becca, who was speaking with me at NIC, and was on the student assembly board with me. So we just continued that relationship, which is so awesome. And we took the OCS, and that at that point in time was like kind of a great way for me to organize everything that I had in my brain into this nice little pathway of kind of evidence-based practice, and also kind of that tool belt, like what do you pull out of the tool belt first? So that was a big part of that for me. And then I took a job at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. So that was 5 years ago. And I really felt like it was with the population I wanted to be with. I mean, I had girls and boys. And I don't know, I still just had this little itch inside of me that wanted to be a little more creative. And I felt like in a big hospital system, I couldn't really do that. And I felt a little smothered because of that. So I continue working for the next couple of years, and I feel like if I had stayed in Atlanta, maybe I would have gone a different direction. I'm not sure, but my husband got his residency in Boston, so we packed up and headed up to Boston. So I didn't really have any choice but to kind of reinvent myself at that point in time. So I really couldn't find what I wanted to do here. So that's what made me pull the trigger and actually go all in. And it's a scary moment to do that, and you have to put a lot of trust in yourself and really, you know, go for it. So I was nervous, and it has been, I've worked a lot of very, very long hours. It's been a ton of work. You know, I've made mistakes and made good decisions, and it's all come together, and it's going really, really well. But, you know, it's a lot of work. So, but I'm glad I decided to.
Wow, man. Can you talk a little bit more about that point in time when you decided, okay, I'm gonna jump, like this is it, it's happening.
Oh gosh, I was nervous, but I also just sometimes when I get an idea in my head, I have to do it, and so I knew I was gonna do it. I just wasn't exactly sure when. And we got married about year and a few months ago, and I just, because at that time I knew I was going to be taking a little bit of time off of things, I decided that right after that would be a good time for me to kind of jump into trying this and starting this. And I felt like at some point, if we decided to have a family, I was worried that that would keep me from doing this. So I just felt like it's the right time in my life. So literally like 10 days after our wedding, I was moving into my new space. And you know, I read a bunch of books. I literally read Small Business for Dummies. I thought there's some great resources through the private practice section. I went and joined private practice section. I called up some of my mentors that were in private practice, asked for their advice. I actually, when I was probably 2 years out of school, I went to a course at CSM that was called, I forget what it's called exactly, but about starting your own practice. And I was just taking notes and taking notes. I pulled up those notes again and started reading them, and they were 5 or 6 years old. And that lady was actually a private practice consultant. I called her, spent an hour chatting with her. So I just, anything I could possibly use as a resource, I used. And I walked into my little space that I found, and with a massage table and a thing of free up and a couple weights, a ball and a band, and that was it. And I've been growing from there. So we spent a year in that little small space, which I kept my overhead really, really low. That's the key to it. So you don't put a lot of pressure on yourself to have to see a billion patients. My space was literally looked like a supply closet when I moved in, and I transformed it, did some really bright colors and mirrors and, you know, fun logos and flowers. And now it's very bright and fun to be there, but we are in 2 weeks moving into a bigger space. So you just have to be patient and not expect it to be the perfect big giant PT clinic when you very first start. It's going to be a lot of work, a lot of hours, and, you know, minimal overhead and minimal stuff at the beginning, but then it can grow from there. That's what's really cool about our profession. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of inventory. You just need your hand and your expertise, the marketing skills.
That's right.
Some Instagram.
That's right. That's awesome. Yeah, it's definitely more about what's between our ears than at the end of our arms, right? So, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for talking about that. Okay, so we have a bunch of other questions here. So, everyone, if you have any questions, please start posting them in the comments here. So Kate can answer them. Okay, moving on. So, Brad Johnson asks, do you recommend attempting to gain a variety of experiences prior to specializing or practicing in your niche? Or would you recommend pursuing it as soon as you know the direction you'd like to go, even if it's only 1 or 2 years out of school?
I think at least a couple years of soaking up a lot of different areas of our profession is the way to go. I remember being, when I was working in inpatient pediatrics, I did another little stint in that after the Broadway shows, just while I was doing the OCS and all of that. And I remember being in inpatient pediatrics and then being able to handle some of the orthopedic issues with a kid with cystic fibrosis that some of my coworkers weren't quite sure about. And I was like, wow, this is really, really cool that I'm getting to bring these different parts of physical therapy together. So I think there's a lot of each of the different areas of PT that can help the other ones that maybe if you go in immediately, you might miss out on that. So I think it's best to really be a generalist at the beginning and, like I said, soak up as much as you can, have as many mentors as you can, go to as many courses. And I think conferences are great just because you get to see little bits of a lot of things and get a little bit more of an idea of what, you know, what's out there. Because sometimes you go to a con ed course and they are all in. This is the only way. This is the way. Everyone's going to get better this way. And I think it's easy to get sucked into that. And I think you just need to keep your mind open that there are a ton of ways, and maybe some ways work for you, some ways might not work for you, and you're size or your body or your patient population, and that's okay. You just need to take as many things as you possibly can and continue making yourself a stronger therapist. So that would be my advice for that. But I don't know, there's probably people that went into their niche and would say that that was it and they're happy forever. So
yeah. Okay, so the questions keep rolling in, so I'm just going to keep going off what's coming in. Ariana Jones, what is the best way to market yourself to a specific population?
Like I said earlier, I think going all in on something is key because, you know, when I would go to doctors and tell them that I treat adolescent girls, like this is what I do, I think they actually, like, I pop into their brain when that situation comes up versus going to a doctor and saying, hey, like I treat everything. I'm good at everything. I can do it all. You know, then I feel like you're not going to pop up into their brain. And same, whether you're marketing to doctors or marketing to, direct access and a sports team, like they want to hear that this is what you do, you know, or just the general public. So I think really committing to something that you're really good at is key because they're going to really think about you every single time that situation comes up. There's a lot of opportunities for marketing out there that didn't used to exist. So social media and all of those platforms that we didn't have before. So for me, like my population's on Instagram. So that's where we do a lot of our marketing. You know, we have a very cute Instagram at GirlFitRocks. So, and our girls they all the time walk in, they're, oh my God, on Instagram, I saw this and I saw that and you're doing this and you're doing that. So you just need to make sure you think about where they're looking and where they're going and talk to them and ask them to your target population.
My young patients, my young female patients, they always tell me like, Cruz, I can't believe you're on Facebook. Like no one has a Facebook anymore. You know, it's just crazy. So it's either Snapchat or Instagram. Like that's it. There's nothing else. So, and there's a lot of really, really awesome creative ways that you can use Snapchat. So, I don't know if you guys are have jumped on Snapchat yet.
So this summer, one of my past patients who's a senior in high school asked me if she could come do a little free internship kind of thing with me. And she's not interested in being a physical therapist, but she's interested in marketing and business and those types of things. So I said, sure, why not? Come on out here. So she came and she just brainstormed some marketing ideas. She got us onto Snapchat and we now have our own like geo tag filter that pops up when the girls are within a certain distance and they all snap their friends, and it's really cool. And she also made a I don't know if you saw it, but a cool little marketing video for us that I don't think I ever could have pieced together. So creative. So like just something that it took a lot of talent. And also went out to some doctor's offices and marketed for it, and took some flyers and materials, and it was really cool. She did an awesome job, and we actually got referrals from one of the doctors where she took some marketing material. So that's a great opportunity where it's like I said yes and seized that opportunity, even though it maybe didn't seem like something that was going to be helpful to me at the time. She did an awesome job, and we also had took another high school. There's a in our town. There's a mayor's internship program, and so said yes to that too. And I had that kid come in, and she just last week I had a lady come into the clinic, and she said, "I'm a dance teacher. I was sitting in my dance class and stretching, and I told my students, my dancers, that I had a torn or I strained my hamstring, and I was stretching it, and wasn't getting any better." And one of my dancers was like, "If you strained your hamstring, you might not necessarily need to stretch it. You should go to physical therapy."
Yes.
Fire that. Yes. So you just never know where the referrals are going to come from. So you just have to get creative.
Oh, man, that's huge. That's so awesome. Very, very cool. I feel like also being able to have that niche practice, you know, it helps you connect with them, you know, in a level, at a level where might otherwise be difficult, you know. So that's incredible. Man, I got to get on my 17-year-old patients to see if they want to do some internships. So, okay, let's see. Just a couple comments. So let me scroll up. So Sarah, I don't know if you see that in the feed. Sarah said, "You are my role model," with 5 exclamation points. So that's awesome.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. So, okay. Next question. What are your opinions on getting certified in a specialty like OCS, NCS, FCS, et cetera?
Yeah, so I, like I said earlier, I did my OCS, and for me at that time in my career, it was great. I think it did actually make me a much better practitioner because I was feeling very disorganized at the time and had a lot of different things that I learned, and I just felt like I needed something to help me organize that into putting it into practice. So I was about 3 years out, and I really think that was the perfect timing. I know a lot of people do them immediately after their residencies, and I'm sure that is also a great time to do them. I don't know, somebody a long, long time ago, a friend of mine was thinking about going to business school, and she was talking about doing it right after school. Mm-hmm. And some of her mentors in totally different world, they said, you know, you need to go out and work for a little bit and get some context before business school is going to really, you're going to get the most out of it. And I kind of thought about that later when I was doing my OCS. I was like, man, I feel like the context I have with all these contact courses and all this practice I have, this is the right time for me. Like, this is when I'm going to get the most out of it. And I'm sure you get a lot out of it anytime, but for me, that was it. That was the right time. And I kind of felt like, you know, you're in school and you're studying, and then you get out of school and all of a sudden, you know, you don't have to study anymore, but you can, and you should. And so I was, but I don't know, I kind of just felt like I needed to study again a little bit to kind of hone in on my skills, and it was the right time. And I made a little resolution after that. I was like, you're going to stay up to date on your JOSPTs and make sure that you're reading all, you know, all the articles and staying up to date, because the tests are usually like a tiny bit behind the research. So they're still very valuable, but it was like a good time to be like, all right, now I'm on it. I'm not going to miss an issue ever again.
Dang. Ever again. Go,
yeah,
girl.
And I started my own practice, and I've been very busy, but my opportunities are so wonderful, and they help me catch up with them all and pick up the slack in so many areas that I have needed a little help this year. So I'm really, really lucky to have them.
That's awesome. So you know, being a fresh grad myself, one thing that we do where I practice is we each have, you know, really similar interests, but there are areas where we vary. So, you know, we'll just do little in-services here and there. Is that something that you and the clinicians that work with you are also doing, or how do you guys improve your clinical skills at your practice?
Yeah, so they're both still pretty fresh with me within the past couple months. So we are getting into our groove of it all and just making sure we kind of get used to practicing together and learn as much as we can from each other. But that's definitely in the plans. I think having like a team meeting every single week, making sure you're staying up on the research. Anytime anyone goes out and has another experience, being able to get in there and teach each other about it, you know, con ed courses or APTA conferences or just chat or experiences with patients. You know, I want us to always learn from each other. That's huge. Don't, if you're ever anywhere where they're not doing that, do something to make it happen.
Really. Oh yeah.
And you know, it doesn't even have to, if it's not happening and you can't make it happen, things like PT pub night, like going and out and just meeting with other PTs and chatting and nerding out about stuff, like just make that opportunity happen however you possibly can. Go to some conferences.
Do it. Yeah.
The best place. Yeah, all you're in.
There you go. All right. So Eddie asks, how do you reach out to MDs in your area? Was it hard to get in contact with them / get face-to-face time? What kind of barriers did you run into?
So Boston has been a really cool environment for me with reaching out to physicians in my area. There's a group of female orthopedists at Boston Children's Hospital that I reached out to, and we just really kind of, they liked the way I treated. They were really open to working with me and collaborating and really cared about what I thought. And that was so amazing. It honestly felt pretty easy here, but I know it's not always. Like, it didn't necessarily feel that way to me when I was in Atlanta. Like, you know, it can be really tough, but I think because when I was here, I knew what my niche was. I really do think that was helpful because it gave us, you know, something immediately to talk about. It's like a conversation starter. You just go in and say, I'm a PT, I'm good at stuff. You know, it's going to be, there's not a lot to talk about from there. So if you kind of go into it with something exactly that you're going to bring to the table, I think is really helpful. I also, you know, I've tried to reach out to other physicians besides kind of that one group that I gained a good relationship with. We've sent, you know, I've just mailed them some little flyers. I've stopped by to say hi. I have a primary care physician that's been sending a lot of girls to us, and all the girls always say, oh, she loves you, she loves you. And I've never met her before, ever. And so I'm so excited she feels that way, but I really like to meet her so that we can really collaborate about patients. So, you know, sometimes it just happens, but I think you just have to put yourself out there as much as possible. Go by, send them something in the mail, try and shoot them an email, connect any way you possibly can. It's definitely not always easy, but I think if you find a doctor that respects you and wants to collaborate and wants to communicate about patients, go all in on that. Like, make sure that you are updating them about every single one of their patients that's going to go back to them. Make sure you're, you know, developing that relationship so that you guys gain mutual respect and you can help each other out and help the patients out. Because my patients that I have with those doctors, I think, get the most out of both of us because we both kind of pump up each other to the patients, and that helps because with, trust me, in teenage girls, sometimes there's like a little bit of mental and emotional component to it too. So being able to communicate before they walk into my office or their office is, so just try every angle you can. And I think honestly, social media even helps too. Like, I have doctors like some of our stuff on Facebook and Instagram, things like that too.
Yeah.
Put yourself out there every way you possibly can.
So just a couple thoughts. Everyone that I talk to on this subject, like the business to business subject, always talks about how important relationships are. And I'm sure it's no different in the medical community. You know, I once read an article, I can't remember where I read this, but it was talking about what's really important to a doctor, what's really important to a physician or a referral or something. And a lot of what they talked about in the article is clinical skills are secondary to communication, personality, trust, mutual respect, all of these, you know, quote unquote soft skills, the things that people would think are less important are the things that are the most important. Knowing that, oh, if I refer someone to you, you know, are they going to get taken care of really well? So I am going to be having the opportunity here in the future to go and shadow with a doctor for a few hours. And that's really a lot of what I'm going to push. But I know that's not always possible because we're treating patients, doctors are treating patients, it may not work out. But if you can, that's one opportunity where just developing that relationship is the key. I keep hearing, so we'll see. We'll test the theory soon.
You only get, you know, it's great to send a physician your progress note, but take that extra step and track them down, call or shoot them an email if you have their email address, and then just chat with them about the patient too, because that I think is develops more of a relationship and is sometimes better for the patient, because you can only say so much in your PT note, in your medical jargon, you know, being able to really talk about the ins and outs of what is going on and all of these different variables with the patient, I think is much more valuable. So it might take a little more time and a little more effort, but it's worth it.
Yeah, and I find just the short discussions that I've had with a couple physicians is they don't have a lot of time during the day. So a couple of them have given me their cell phone number. And when I called, I mean, it was a 2-minute conversation. Hey, give me the like straight to the point. What are your thoughts? What's your assessment? You know, and we'll and where do you think we need to move from here? But it's gone really well. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they have another patient in like 2 seconds or like 2 hours ago. So, yeah. Okay. So, so let's move on. Awesome conversation on that. Okay. Amelia Sullivan asks, so you're a year plus, into pursuing your passion. What's been your biggest takeaway / lesson learned?
Oh man, there have been a lot of lessons. See how much information I have learned in the past year. I was just laughing with, one of my coworkers, because this time last year is when I became in network with some of the insurance companies, and I used WebPT, and I sat, it was actually Thanksgiving, and I sat at my in-law's house and was entering in just the information from the insurance card into WebPT, and it took me like an hour and a half. My father-in-law, he walked by and he was like, you might need to hire someone for that. And I was like, I don't have any money to hire anyone, so I got to figure this out. And I did. And now it's like, I could talk to you all day about insurance and the ins and outs of everything. So like, yeah, I've learned a lot, but I mean, I think the biggest thing I've learned is that like, you're the one that cares about your practice. And so if you're going to take advice from anyone, just make sure you are very careful about that. And that you, cause you know, it doesn't always matter to everyone exactly what happens. And, you know, things I used to just be able to be like, I'll figure it out later, or it probably doesn't matter. Like, no, you need to figure things out. Like, you have to. You have, even if that means you need to stay up all night, you have to figure it out yourself. And sometimes you need to go back and research things and make sure that the advice you've gotten is correct. So that's my biggest thing that I've learned in the past year. But I've also learned lots of really fun small things about marketing and insurance and, you know, how to get out there with the doctors and how to best communicate with parents, how to handle complaints, things like that. You know, if we, you know, everybody wants an after school hour time and there's just only so many after school times. So figuring out how to deal with those kind of customer service issues too, it's been a journey, but a very exciting one. And if I've learned this much in a year, I'm very excited to see what else I'm going to learn from here on out.
I love that. Awesome stuff. Okay. Mary Kate asks, was there any specific Con Ed courses that you felt were really beneficial for working with female athletes?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think back to all of them from the very start, but the most recent that I've done has been dry needling. And it's not usually my first line of defense with my patient population, but I treat a ton of dancers and figure skaters in their like later teen years. And it has become very, very helpful, especially kids that have been to PT other places and then are now starting to come to PT with me, and they've been in pain for a really long time. It's been really, really helpful. Like the biggest game changer, I think, for me, out there. But I also just took some classes on soft tissue work right after school, which was really, really helpful. Gained a lot from my mentors. But I think the biggest game changer for me is probably dry needling.
Awesome. Another one. I am a first year DPT student. Do you have any general advice, things you wish you knew? Thanks for taking your time.
Things I wish I knew in PT school.
Things you wish you knew at that time.
Oh man, that was a long time ago. just don't stress out too much in school. Like there's so much more that you're going to learn after school. Like make sure you get as much as you possibly can out of it and have a really good experience and take time to do things like getting involved in the APTA, because I probably, you know, I remember that very first student conclave where I met Becca and Allison, Laura and Valerie, and we had a huge test the next week. And I am one of those people that really wants to study and wants to make an A no matter what. And I didn't want to go to student conclave, but I did and risked maybe not scoring as high on it as I could have on that test. And now what I have from that one conference that has changed my whole career path in my life is so much bigger that I don't even know what that test was about. So take time to not just study and do great in school and make good grades, but take time to do the other things. Go to the PT club nights, go to the conferences, network, make connections, like take time to do that kind of stuff. I think I felt I stumbled into that and I didn't know that straight at the beginning of PT school, but that's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Really, really good stuff. I just want to echo a lot of the things that you already said. So in my personal experience, getting really, really awesome grades, you know, was important to me, but it wasn't the primary reason that I did a lot of the things that I did. I think what was more important was getting out to conferences, getting out, participating with the Arizona Student SIG, and then eventually working up to going to national conferences. You know, hearing different perspectives, meeting different people, because you never know, I mean, what opportunities might be there for you, you know, rubbing elbows with some of the incredible physical therapists out there. That you cannot, you just can't put a price tag on that. It's completely changed my career trajectory and what I thought was possible for me. Kate, that was incredible. Let's see. Eddie asks again, can you repeat the quote about going to the conference being greater than the one test for the people in the back? Oh, gotcha. All right. Eddie's just messing around. Okay. So let's see. We have a few more questions. And holy smokes, Kate. So we have 10 minutes left. We have a few more questions, but we don't have to answer all of these. Let me find a couple of them. Can you talk about some of the things that students should avoid if they are interested in starting a niche practice?
You should avoid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that there's anything you should avoid. I think you should just make sure that you take a little bit of something out of everything. I guess maybe the one thing I would say is avoid getting sucked into some of the like trendy con ed courses that will say this is the one only way to do things. Yeah, that I think that's the biggest danger when you're straight out of school, is that somebody's gonna grab you and be like, this is the way to do it, this is the only way to do it, and they're gonna be very charismatic about it, and then you're gonna think that's the only thing to do from there on out. And it scares me. I've seen some new grads do that. And it made me a little nervous that, you know, they're not ever going to grow anymore in the rest of their career. So keep an open mind. I think that's, yeah, that's my biggest thing to avoid for sure.
Good stuff. Okay, let's see. There's some ones later on, a little further down here. So how important is the clinic staff, such as receptionists and aides, in terms of patient buy-in for treatment?
I mean, I think every single person that's in the clinic is huge for the patient buy-in. I like right now, anybody that works at GirlFit is doing kind of everything. Like, we're all answering the phones and we're all doing scheduling and we're all kind of doing everything. So we don't necessarily have like one person that's the like front desk worker. Like, we're right now. And because, you know, in order to be able to hire someone to do those kind of things, like, they don't necessarily generate revenue. So it's a big jump, I think, to be able to do that. So right now, my amazing physical therapists are wearing a lot of hats right now, and we're all doing a lot of things, which I think is really fun. But honestly, too, like, having, you know, I've had some volunteers and some students in Northeastern University in Boston has a co-op program. So I have a co-op student right now, which has been awesome. I think it's cool to bring in that like youthful energy, especially with my population, because they, you know, they can go on and on about Snapchat and I don't know that much about it, but you know, I'm like not thumbs up, but like they can really talk the talk with them. And I appreciate that a lot.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, let's see. We have one question, one more question that came in from the live audience here. So let's see, why did you choose Emory University? What made their program stand out from other programs that you were looking at? Did location play a role at all in your decision of where to go to school? I think this might be maybe a pre-PT student, someone that's trying to decide.
Feel like I really lucked out because I did love Emory and had a great experience. And I think it kind of shaped kind of where I ended up going. But I did not have the most educated decision. I'm from Arkansas, and there was only one PT school in my state. And when I went to attempt to start getting my prerequisites there, they said that the school where I went, which is a different school in the same city, the prereqs weren't going to match up nicely. And so I was like, okay, I guess I can't go here. So I literally pulled up the like top 10 PT schools in the country and just started looking at that list and seeing which cities didn't seem too scary. So that's how I ended up with, at Emory. But I lucked out because I loved it. It was a great program, and has continued to grow from there. But there's a lot of amazing schools that aren't on that list. So I think trying to connect with some PT students and or professors or teachers or physical therapists out there and getting a little more education about what schools kind of focus on, what different areas are, you know, have different things that might interest you is probably a better way to go about it than I did.
Awesome. Okay.
Great experience either way.
Yeah. Okay. So if there are any last minute, like pressing questions, start posting those in the link here on the comments here, and we'll get those answered for you. Okay. So, let's see. Let's do this one really quick, Kate, before we wrap up. So how do you pitch a service that isn't covered by insurance?
Yeah, I am lucky to work in a very affluent area, so I think that's probably helpful. But I mean, there's so many different fitness options out there that if you find a way to, you know, market to the performance enhancement and fitness and like I said, having a niche, like for us being kind of for girls, I think is a good way to market it. We do, you know, we reach out to sports teams. My cards are at all the dance studios, gymnastics gyms, figure skating rinks. That's, you know, reaching out to all of the populations. I also think primary care physicians are always, you know, there's always like the kid that comes in and, you know, BMI is a little high or low, or, you know, they're a little bit weak, or, you know, maybe they pick up on some musculoskeletal kind of stuff. And I think they are like looking for good fitness options for kids. So that's a good place to start as well. And even the orthopedists that I work with in the sports medicine department, they, you know, I had a doctor say, if, you know, if all dancers did girl fit, we'd have 80% less dance injuries. Oh my gosh. That's really exciting. Like being able to go out there and, you know, explain to them the science behind it is huge too, because there's not other fitness options like that out there. So being able to say, you know, there's a great JOSBT article that looked at the like glute strengthening and like the TFL activation versus glute activation and which, you know, five exercises were the best one for that ratio. So being able to go out to the doctors and be, or sports teams or anyone and say, hey, I picked these exercises because there's research behind them, and you can do a fitness class and have research behind the exercises. Like that's huge. And that's going to set us apart as well.
Awesome. Okay. So last question. This one just came in a second ago. Let's see. James asks, do you see yourself maintaining your OCS status, or do you plan to just stay on top of research without the OCS requirements?
I am going to attempt to maintain it. Yes. I have been so very, very busy the past year, and it seems really daunting, but it's important to me. And I do think that, you know, I probably have at this point in time, like another feeling of needing to study again and get things organized in my brain. So regardless of reading the research, like, I don't know, I think I need that right now. So it's coming up next year, I think, for me. So, yeah, I'm going to attempt it for sure.
Awesome. Good stuff. Okay. So, we're going to wrap up the chat here. So we usually like to end with a couple things. So for all of you that are in the chat right now, and for those of you that are posting on Twitter, we like to ask the question after this hashtag exchange essay chat on finding your niche with Kate Hamilton, owner of GrowFit Physical Therapy. What are you going to do? And what did you find most valuable about this chat tonight? And where do you feel like you still need some more information? So with that, Kate, I always like to ask if you feel comfortable, would you be willing to give any contact information, maybe a Twitter handle or even an email if you feel comfortable for all of our viewers tonight, if they're interested in reaching out to you?
Yeah, of course. I would love it if any of you guys wanted to reach out with any questions or just to chat or tell me what you're doing too. I am at GirlFitRocks on Twitter and Instagram, GirlFit Physical Therapy on Facebook, or my email is kate@girlfitrocks.com. And I'm going to be at Student Conclave next weekend. So if you're going to be there, please come say hi. I would love to meet you in person and get to chat. And I just want to thank you guys. Like you know, my first position on the Student Assembly Board was director, and that was when the Student Assembly Pulse was a newsletter we emailed out and sometimes got printed out. And we did a big survey and found out that nobody was reading it at all, and nobody really even knew what it was. And we were like, oh my gosh, we worked so hard on this newsletter and no one's, you know, doing anything with it. And that was the year my friend Becca actually dreamed up the loop and all of these things that have kind of you guys have taken and run with and done such an awesome job. And the fact that you guys are here and on this chat right now and engaged and paying attention and communicating is so amazing to me. And I'm just, it like gives me chills to even see. And thank you for having me on here. I hope you guys will reach out anytime with questions or just to chat. And I'd love to get to know all of you. So thank you so much for having me.
Good stuff. Kate, the very last thing that I like to do for all of the chats is, do you have any questions? We can kind of turn the table on our audience. Do you have any questions or closing thoughts for the audience?
Yeah, I'd like to know your ideas. Like, what are you thinking about niche practice? Like, what is it that makes you tick? Like, what makes you really happy when you see a certain patient population or type of injury or injury prevention? You know, I want to hear your ideas too. I think it's really exciting. So thank you again for having me. And I can't wait to hear from you guys too.
Good stuff. So everyone, you can post that. What are your ideas for niche practice and what makes you tick? Or the two big questions that she asked there. post that here on Facebook and on Twitter as well using hashtag ExchangeSA. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. This is the October ExchangeSA chat. We're all finished. Look out for more information. We're going to be chatting with CEO of APTA, Justin Moore, next month in November, with the new Director of Communications after the National Student Conclave election. So very much looking forward to that. And we'll answer all of your questions with Justin about APTA or anything related to physical therapy. So have a good night, everyone. Thank you for joining. Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.